Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk in private. Okay, now that we're alone, what's with your friend's driving? Is he always this reckless? You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. Driver, just so you know, we're totally not talking about you. He suspects nothing.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
And it's just about 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Well, there it is. The entire theme without us talking over it by request. strong request. There it is. Everything. The whole theme.
Is that the 12th or 11th time we've played it? How many months? 3 months.
Well, let's see. It started after the Trump era began. Okay, and first no, week, we can actually figure this out because...
Must be 3 weeks, January, yeah.
It's 100 days on Saturday.
Okay.
So you divide that by seven.
Seven, yeah.
And, okay, wait, that's
100
that's
by
about,
seven. Seven times
that's
three.
That's like 14. Because seven times, four, seven is 49, which is one less of 50.
Seven times five is 35. So, hold on, I'm getting there.
14.
Seven times six is 48? 42.
What was your original question?
Oh, who cares?
Was it fifth? Wait, what were you
asking? Question is, how many times did we play the theme? That's probably the 12th time in my estimation.
It has to be around that. I'd say probably 13 because...
Maybe 13th, okay.
Yeah, 7 times 7 is 49, and times 2 is 98, and you know what? You might be right. It might be 12. It could be anywhere between 12 and 14.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. Is it working?
Is the theme working?
I like it. It's stirring, but does it reflect... The era.
Yes. Yes, it does. Absolutely. No question about
it. I think
that.
It's better than the Trump machine ever could have been.
Oh, the Trump machine. You know, it's funny because...
We stopped updating it.
Yeah. Frank's supposed to fix that. And it's you know, he's going to get in trouble with the government. But if you go back a couple of, years on our show?
It was at least a year or two prior to the election.
We had a machine in here that said Trump once a minute, and then it went out of control and it said Trump, like, first of all, remember that there was a Trump, like, mob? There were, like, 50 of them talking at the same time, all saying Trump. And we thought we put an end to it, and you see what's happened. We see it's out of control. And now everyone's saying it, and you don't need the Trump machine anymore, but it's still, the Trump machine in the radio station should be maintained. That's my
answer. I don't want to comment. I don't want to get anybody in the engineering team in trouble.
Well,
but
no, but we have to stay out of trouble ourselves. You got to watch your own ass. That's how we're going to survive the next however many.
CYA, cover your ass. Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
Yes. So we're on the brink of war again. Today, with Canada now?
Yeah, apparently the dairy thing was one thing. Milk protein prices being artificially something or that.
Really?
Or the other.
Wait, can you explain it to me? Because I have no idea
apparently,
why we're mad at
there's
Canada.
Some tariff or something that the Canadians did structurally to the price of some high protein milk product. And anyway, that was a sign of them meddling with trade. And then there's, of course, differences in sizes of markets. And Trump is essentially saying that, you know, it's really important for dairy producers on the border, uh-huh. the northern border, states like Wisconsin, and even, he said, upstate New York.
Sounds like we need a wall up there, too.
Starving dairy farmers. Uh-huh. They're all destitute.
Wow.
You know, think of the Somalians, though. Come on. Like, let's be real. But they're starving and really in a tough way, so Trump's saving the day by cracking his thumb at Canada. But in addition, he is going at the lumber types, the wood people, the timber folks in Canada.
Lumberjacks.
Well, yeah, timber production is also something he says is a problem riddled.
Is that why people yell timber when something's about to fall? Because it is timber? I never thought about that before now.
I think felling trees is where that idiom came from.
Okay. All right. Because, I mean, it's timber.
Right.
It makes sense. It's telling you what's coming.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I learned that Grog was named after the guy, the British Army General's coat, which was made out of a certain type of fabric, which is gauze grain. So weird.
We're learning things left and right. This is educational radio, and
be careful.
The learning tree never stops with its bounty of knowledge.
That the more you know.
Hits us on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you about the dream I had?
Sure.
I had, you know, occasionally you have the television set on. And,
we'll come
and
back to macroeconomics.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt that. But you know how my mind works.
No, we'll get there.
So I had the TV on. I was falling asleep and waking up, you know, and CNN or something was on. And I guess Trump was giving a speech or talking about giving a speech. That's right. He's going to have like this mass rally on Saturday
in
Pennsylvania.
The 100-day to complement that, or it's his answer to it, or it's what how he will be marking the occasion.
Yes, and I think it's also to coincide with the correspondence dinner that he's not attending.
That he's not attending, right.
So yes. He's going to have this mass rally where he's got all these this crowd of people. And I think they were playing back something, and I was like, you know, going in and out of consciousness. And do you remember the whole speech thing where he basically says, and we're going to build a wall, and who's going to pay for it?
Mexico.
Right, that's the right answer.
No, Mexicans.
I think Mexico is the right answer. I'm not sure. I think it's Mexico.
Vatos.
Which implies Mexicans. So, all right. So that got me thinking in my slumber, wouldn't this make the most amazing video game where basically it's sort of a combination of Alexa and some kind of a crazy video thing that kids play, where basically you're Trump, all right? You are Trump, and you're speaking to a crowd, all right? And you have to get the crowd to respond in a certain way. You have to get the crowd to actually cheer or boo or, you know, basically, the crowd can turn on you, too.
This sounds like a Nintendo game.
I don't know. I don't play Nintendo. I don't play video games. But imagine, okay, you start off, right, and you're giving a speech, but you have to use certain key words. You have to say, I want to make America great again. And of course, that's an easy way to get some cheers right there. Now, if you can get a chant going, that's like you get some points there. But you can easily wind up falling apart and saying something that the crowd doesn't like. And maybe having them turn on you, which I think that would be winning the game. But I just think that would be kind of a cool thing where we might not be there yet, where the input is listening to what you're saying and interpreting it and feeding back in the form of a crowd. And I had this idea in a dream. It's a great idea for a video game. I don't have the ability to develop it. I don't think any of us do here. But maybe there's a video game developer out there. This is yours. Take it, please. Develop this. Just give us some credit when you sell the thing and become a millionaire and you know, rich and famous and all that.
I don't want to minimize that, but I've got an idea for a game where you sort paper clips. And I got the idea when we were at the border in Vermont from that one CPD.
How on earth?
Yeah, that customs agent that was sorting paper. You know, good cop agent.
Yeah,
and he sorted paper clips. What if that was an app?
That you sounds know, like something that you pile, do in a subway when you're bored.
A pile of paper clips. Uh-huh.
Virtual paper clips. Yeah. All right.
Yes, computer-aided design models, mesh models of paper clips. They don't have to be real. Well, did I say that they're fake?
Okay, fine. Virtual paper. But the thing is, if you're bored enough to be playing a video game, why do something boring in the video game? Which I assume, I've never sorted paper clips, but I assume that's boring. So why not something like, you know, fighting evil in the world and going to different planets and things like that?
Actually, so that's more like the game you were talking about, because you're fighting evil with your words, with the people getting...
Well, not really. No, to me, it's kind of scary because I become Donald Trump, right? And I'm addressing this massive horde of people who, you know, can turn on a dime and become a rampaging mob and burn me at the stake. That could happen.
So it's all about nuance and like how you articulate,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the little subtle things in speech and how he emphasizes things that you could lose a whole point or
there'd
you know,
be,
whole.
There'd be little meters saying crowd right. approval is going up,
right?
Anger is rising,
right?
Somebody's beating up a hippie in the back, you know, things
right.
like that. Things that would add to your score.
Oh, so there'll be agitators too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. How about this? Then their demonstrators suddenly pop up. Okay, in the back. And they're saying things, how you respond to them, that determines your score, that determines how the crowd reacts, which also determines your score. You can have them beaten to a bloody pulp, but then that might hurt your public opinion, you know, who knows?
Okay, so that's like improvisation. You can do kind of your
Absolutely.
Own little riff there when you get an agitator.
Uh-huh.
That's like your moment to, but otherwise you want to stick to the script and then say it in the way that gets the response.
Well, the interesting phrase, stick to the script. Now, does Donald Trump stick to the script? He really doesn't do that. So sticking to the script might not serve you.
What I meant was like the delivery, like the protocol, the way mm-hmm. that you'll be effective, whatever that is.
Okay.
You know, it's like when you know the cheat codes, you know, up, up, down, down, up.
Yes.
Same thing, you know, you wall, 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 Mexicans, wall,
Right.
I don't know. No water testing. Coal in the water.
Coal is good. Coal,
yeah. Green coal.
Green coal.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's the protocol. It's like cheat codes. Yeah.
But you can't say things like pollution is good because obviously they'll, you know, that doesn't sound right. So you'll lose points for that. But if you say something that gets them going in a particular way that gets to the same goal, yeah, that's a good thing.
Okay.
So I could see it working. I could see it being something. And the goal is to get to the end of the speech, you know, to basically finish and say, you know, good night, everybody. See you next time and make it out of that place in one piece. I just think it would be.
You mean get back on your jet?
Well, right? Yeah, obviously.
And fly, obviously.
But you can't use words that don't resonate. You can't use words that maybe the people don't understand or that speak to different values that they don't appreciate. You do that, and you start losing crowd approval, and then you start losing popularity amongst them, and then before you know it, Hillary Clinton is kicking you off the stage. You know, and that's like the worst thing that can happen in this particular game. That's it. That's all I got. And I was asleep when I came up with the idea. So, you know, give me a little bit of credit for that. Didn't really develop it more than, and I haven't told you about it. This just happened a day ago. So, yeah.
It could be something. Yeah, definitely.
could be one of the better things that I've come up with. Okay. So, we're on the verge of war with North Korea. And that's always exciting whenever that happens. In this particular case, though, it's a particular concern only because we have somebody so inexperienced and not really caring about consequences in a position of great power. We've been basically facing off with North Korea now ever since the Korean War ended in the 50s. And the situation hasn't really changed very much over the last few decades. Basically,
it's a stalemate, right?
It's a stalemate, absolutely. South Korea and North Korea facing off against each other at the border, and the United States really kind of meddling in that situation a bit more than I think we should be. And of course, other countries have interest too. China has interest there, Soviets, the Russians.
What do you mean
interest.
More than we should be? Well, we are. Driving our boats where we want, okay?
Yeah, but look, you know what?
China
is over there already. They're next door. And Russia is over there already. They're next door. And Japan, they should have an interest as well.
All of them want to see us nervous.
Uh-huh.
This is the perfect guy.
Japan doesn't want to see us nervous.
And they've got their own issues, but sure.
They're a little worried, and they should be. But the thing is, North Korea has always done the same thing. They've always been very blustery and all kinds of insults. They love insulting people. I mean, okay, listen.
The American dogs.
Yeah.
They like American dogs.
Well, it's pretty much how they refer to us. I'm looking for the exact quote here. And this is kind of...
You know why we're the American dogs, right?
No, why?
Because the soldiers, because we use dogs extensively. We have a lot of working dogs in the military.
Okay. Well,
so we sick dogs on people and they resent us for it. That's why.
Here is what the official newspaper of the Workers' Party said. That's their official newspaper up in North Korea.
Good. Lovely.
They said, in the case of our super mighty preemptive strike being launched, it will completely and immediately wipe out not only U.S. imperialist invasion forces in South Korea and its surrounding areas, but the U.S. mainland and reduce them to ashes. Okay. Now, you could look at those words and say, wow, that's not very nice. And it's not meant to be very nice. It's meant to be insulting. It's meant to be a slap across the face. But I posit this. If somebody comes up to you and threatens you with a super mighty preemptive strike, how do you not laugh at that? Okay, whenever I've been threatened with something super mighty, it's never come to be. It's never come to fruition.
That's foolish.
Yeah. What, to not take it with a...
Why do we take what they say worth a grain of salt?
Well, we shouldn't. We shouldn't because this has been going on for a long, long time. And the only way it's going to change is if something changes on our end, and something has changed on our end. And that's what worries me, is that this ridiculous dance that we've been playing for the last few decades is going to change in a very negative way because people don't know when to back down and when to just deal with the situation in a more rational manner. So that's, you know, that's what concerns me. I'm not saying the situation is a good situation. It's not. It really needs to change, absolutely. But not changing by one-upping them and calling their bluff and daring them to do things. Because, you know, it's about pride. It's about being taken seriously. It's about being respected. And when you take all that away and say, what are you going to do? Well, then, you know, the person you're doing that to might do something. And in this particular case, the stakes are really, really high.
So where do you see North Korea fitting in as far as expertise and economic prowess as they transition to a modern democracy?
Well, I don't see them transitioning to a modern democracy anytime soon.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, they're not. I mean, it's basically... you know, a dictatorship, a repressive regime.
Okay.
Absolutely. There's no denying any of this. The people are treated horribly. But what do you think? Has anything worked in the past where we've basically said, okay, we're not going to talk to you until you change your very composition, who you are? And that just keeps going on and on and on. And they keep building more and more sophisticated weapons, which, you know, by the way, this might be controversial. I think they have every right to do that, just like we have every right to do that, too. It's not a good thing, but you can't tell somebody you're not allowed to develop this. They did it themselves. They built something. Okay, you know, it's not what we want, but they did it. And when you tell somebody you can't do something that they're capable of doing, kind of doesn't fly. So that's something that I think is... it's the wrong argument to be having right now.
But would you consider them equipped to do this?
To do what?
Would you consider them knowledgeable and well-equipped to contain the kinds of experimentation that we're speaking to?
By contain, you mean...
Do what? They know what they're doing?
Yeah, they know what they know. What they, I mean, things do blow up occasionally.
Oh.
But that's, you know, they don't have the resources we have. But
So other than that, what are they good at?
What are they good at? Come on, we watched that parade last week. They are so good at coordination and just organizing things.
So you think they could do like synchronized swimming or something?
Look, I suggested this in the past that they coordinate the Rose Bowl parade.
Okay.
Right? And wow, would that be a phenomenon? Look, all I'm saying
is let's add that for the list of useful things for North Korea to
look,
do.
I'm not trying to minimize them. But I've been over there.
I am.
I've talked to the people. Well, I know. That's what Americans do. They like to minimize, you know, the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, why don't we try and communicate? Yeah, we don't like what they're doing. We don't like how they treat their people. But it's clear that not talking to them isn't accomplishing anything for us. So why not try and be a little bit more friendly and bring them into something, bring them into a conversation. We're saying, oh, we're not going to talk to them. We're not going to negotiate with them because we don't like them.
So after they
you should
promise...
negotiate with people you don't like. That's the people you should be negotiating with.
So what would your follow-up to reduce to ashes be as far as communicating?
Well, I mean, I would just let that go because
really?
They're not going to reduce the United States to ashes. Do you really think North Korea is going to do that?
Do think that we're really capable of glassifying them.
Oh, of course we are. And do you think, okay, do you think they don't know that?
Ought to.
That's wise. Flip it around.
Right.
And look at it from their perspective. This massive country that can reduce the entire world to cinders is constantly threatening them.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? You know, they're just going to back down and submit? No, it's not in their nature to do that.
Well, I will agree with you there. That goes back to the pride thing. I'm being devil's advocate, but this is the kind of
you're doing a good job.
Attitudes that, you know, we think we know better, and we are really challenged to see it from other perspectives.
I'm not saying we don't know better. You know, this is the thing. People accuse me of being a sympathizer. It's just a way of looking at something in a slightly different way to reach somebody. It's kind of like what cops should do when they have situations where somebody is drunk or, you know, saying things that they shouldn't be saying or just, you know, about to lose control. Do you push the situation or do you try and calm the situation? And I just think talking and exchanging ideas and taking them seriously and listening to them, I think that will go miles towards not only preventing this kind of situation, but also resolving the situation that's been there for decades.
Do we have that conversation before or after China cuts off their petroleum supplies?
Well, I don't know.
Don't you think it's too late for any of this?
No,
I mean,
I don't.
Come on.
I don't.
They're talking about reducing people to this, and we're
that's not the first time.
Sending armadas there. It is, I think, really hopeful, very optimistic of you to consider the conversation going back to, well, you know, we think you would be an ideal candidate for X industry that we're going to help you develop and become a national, global player in said industry that we think North Koreans really have the expertise to thrive and become a great, great global player because they are renowned for this ability and on and on and
how
on.
How about this, then?
I mean, where are they going to fit in?
Okay, you start small. Something like, when they launched a satellite. Remember they launched a satellite a couple of years ago?
Okay.
And we kept trying to say that there's no indication that it went up there. And in fact, it did go up there. It actually did go into orbit. How about saying congratulations? Good job. You know, something like that. A little thing like that.
Okay, so this is where I think you got me. Mm-hmm. Because I think space is a big answer to a lot of these questions. I'm talking relationships with Russia, China, all of these countries who are, transfer of ballistic missile technology to space, I think, is a very a positive step. So I'm kind of with you with that analogy for sure.
Okay, well, then,
if they were like the experts at laser based space communications for whatever reason, or we tasked them with some particular mission that they could excel at on the behalf of humanity, that's function and purpose, and that's also bringing them into a conversation aside from bluster. Is that kind of where you're going?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Because I agree with that. I think all nations, especially ones that we may have disagreements and so on with, we can find common ground
you
in exploration.
You will always be able to find common ground.
In exploration.
In something.
Specifically exploration. Mm-hmm. But go on. Anyway.
Something as technologically or just exploring or...
Because it's bigger than our little territorial borders and stuff here
when
on
I was
Earth.
Over there... I talked to North Koreans, and we had interesting conversations about music, about culture, art, things
drinking,
like that.
They drink.
Oh, they drink like,
I think they
like
drink.
Fish. It's unbelievable.
They know soju and booze.
Whatever. For everything I say, I can say something cynical about why or their background. They could do the same for me.
Well, and that's part of us not bringing them to the table. Mm-hmm. We've kept the stalemate as much as they keep that churning in rhetoric.
And that clearly doesn't work. It doesn't mean that Trump saying, oh, this hasn't been working and we have to get more militaristic. Not saying that is the approach either. That's the worst possible thing you can do.
But what you are saying is watch how fast they would respond. If we change the direction of the conversation, watch how quickly they might react in a positive way.
Well, yeah, what is there to lose? First of all, I don't think it'll be quick. I think they'd be very suspicious of that.
But when's the last time we tried it?
Exactly. When did we ever try it? But if we just said something positive or friendly, would they reciprocate? And I think they would. I think there would be a way to. I've been in enough conflicts in my life to know that sometimes just backing down a little bit can lead to more dialogue and resolving what turns out not to be a major deal in the first place. And there's a lot of benefit that can come from both sides here. It doesn't minimize what is happening there. That's negative. But obviously, the way we've been dealing with it has not solved that problem.
Yeah. And I think more succinct is that, or more... What's more to the point is that where in history have we shown to be bigger in this stalemate and spoken to something more productive than just bluster? And, what of our actions indicate that we are not armed to the teeth and all of that?
And this is a kind of bluster that in North Korea is very useful because Kim Jong-un can basically say, look at the threat that we're facing.
He can be justified in
whatever he wants to do, and Trump can do the same thing over here.
Exactly. It's used just the same on us.
Right. But, North Korea? Are we really worried about North Korea attacking us? Are they that insane? They're not that insane. They would not do that. I'm more worried about countries like Pakistan and Israel who have nuclear capabilities, who I think would use them.
Or Pakistan and India having an altercation.
India, yeah, they could have
an altercation. Because both of them are their neighbors. There's contention, and they're also both nuclear states.
Yeah, and when you start threatening with these weapons, it's going down a very dark road that's hard to get off of. So that's something we just have to be very, very wary of.
And it's a lot of time on things that do not move humanity forward, which goes back to, I think, the discussion of space and ways we can find common ground and work on things other than war with the same, you know, the technology and skill.
Yeah, you know, I know it's more complicated than this. South Korea obviously would be very upset, but you know, sometimes you have to try different things out to see how they fly. And we haven't tried this, and I think it might be a good thing to endeavor. Now, there's something else. North Korea on Sunday threatened to sink a U.S. aircraft carrier to demonstrate its military prowess as two Japanese Navy ships join the U.S. strike group that is basically finally heading in that direction. They were going the wrong way for a little while. Our revolutionary forces are combat ready to sink a U.S. nuclear-powered aircraft carrier with a single strike. That was their threat there. Now, okay, that's not going to happen. They are not going to do that. Unless we do something stupid and provoke them into doing it by, you know, attacking them or something like that. But they are not getting this. So when they don't do this, does that count for something? That, yeah, this is just bluster. These are just words being thrown out to, you know, basically, you know how certain animals make themselves bigger by
would that work in a
making
bar
their feathers
go? That wouldn't work in a bar fight.
It can work in a bar fight. In fact, our relationship with North Korea is very similar to a bar fight.
Okay.
It is very similar to that.
How would that play out? If you
buy them a damn beer. Maybe not a beer, but
you say that again, I'm going to get the gun in my trunk, coming back in here, you're going to feel the fury of my whatever threat.
But you've told me where your gun is.
Back off.
You've told me you're going to go out. You told me you're going to come back. You know, it gives me a lot of time for options of various sorts.
All right, forget the
gun. Maybe my car is parked closer. My gun is nearer. You know,
forget the weapons. Yeah. Let's say it's a fist fight.
But you're warning me. You're telling me all
punch you in the face if you come.
But you didn't
near
punch me in the face, Kyle. You didn't. You're telling me you will if I do this, and it's a friendly reminder to not do that. That's how I look at it.
No, I'm sorry. Somebody threatens to punch
me.
I'm
not good in bar fights. I'm sorry. I think it through too much.
I don't think you get credit for not hitting someone in a bar fight. But okay, fine.
It's been a long time since I hit somebody in a bar fight.
If you've been in a bar fight recently, please write us, otw@2600.com.
Yeah, we'd like to hear what happened.
Are we taking calls tonight?
I don't know. We can try. It's possible.
The cafeteria fights also.
Food fights.
If you're still in school, studying, I'm sure there's an equivalent.
But here's the thing that worries me. First of all, today is the 85th anniversary of the founding of the North Korean military.
That's right. They've had all these
congratulations, guys. Yeah. You know, well done. You got a good military there. It seems like everybody in the country is in the military. You guys really know. You know, we watched the parade last week. Everyone should watch the parade. It's It's an amazing parade. They do a good job.
It's like Belarus.
Belarus does not hold a candle to them.
No. I'm saying everybody's in the military.
Oh, yeah. But wow, they really are in the military in North Korea. I mean, I've seen it, but I'm still blown away by it every time I see it again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 85 years of that, or just basically getting better every year. You guys, you know, good job. If we said that, how would that hurt? You know, they'd be like, hey, thank you for acknowledging us. Now we won't blow you to smithereens, at least not today. You know, that would be a concession.
Bad dogs.
No, don't say that.
No, they would say that to the American dogs. Bad dogs.
No, good dogs. No,
good dogs.
Good dogs,
yeah, good
so
dogs.
So now, 85th anniversary. Tomorrow, our esteemed president has called all 100 members of the Senate to meet with him to discuss North Korea. You know, so I'm thinking, if I'm North Korea, that's a great time to do a nuclear test. You know, that's a great time to do something.
Why?
Because it's the 85th anniversary of the military, for one thing.
This is the counterintuitive thing.
And Trump is threatening you, and you got to stand up and do something. They did do something today,
though. But again, how are we talking about space and...
Well, that's because we're in reality.
North Korean flip-flop
industry. No, we were in dreamland before. This is back to reality.
Oh.
And that's how things are right now.
That's right.
So 85th anniversary, Trump threatening them, calling all of the Senate to meet with him tomorrow about this one particular issue. If I were North Korea, yeah, I would stand up and say, here I am. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You don't want to back down. But there are ways, subtle ways, that they are backing down by not moving ahead, by not sinking an aircraft carrier, for one thing, by not having a mighty strike against us, by other ways that make it obvious that this is a lot of talk and bluster. We need to not accelerate it beyond that. Otherwise, we'll find out what's behind the threat.
Do you get the impression that North Korea is the proxy for China and Russia against the U.S.? I mean, just like in Syria? Because I find very interesting that those two countries mm-hmm. are where North Korea can get stuff because they're sanctioned so heavily elsewhere.
Right.
China and I think Russia, or maybe that's in Homeland. I don't know which. Anyway.
Homeland has been remarkably on target as far as just who's running the country and foreign relations.
It is. We're so quick to say that Syria is a proxy for Russia and the U.S. Does anybody think perhaps North Korea is a great straw man for China and Russia to get our attention in sort of opposite ways? Like, I see that. Does anyone else? We seem to think it's such an isolated thing.
A lot more so China than Russia.
Okay.
Because North Korea gets the vast majority of their supplies from China.
A lot.
They have borders that they use quite a bit, and China can put a lot of pressure on them. But
does that make it a reverse proxy war?
You know, that's... Possibly.
That's an IT joke. Anyway,
but here's the thing. China can put a lot of pressure on them. There's no real motivation for them to do that because if they did that right now, they're basically kowtowing to Trump. And that's not something that China wants to be seen doing
because he's been so tough talking
about
them.
But at the same time, they don't want North Korea to fly off the handle and do crazy things
either.
Yeah, so look, we got your back, but just, you know, let's not go nuts here.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. And, of course, our relationships with Japan and South Korea also influenced.
There was
that.
A very interesting editorial in a Chinese newspaper yesterday saying that this is on the verge of going beyond salvation, which can be seen as a warning to North Korea if they do another nuclear test, but also a warning to the United States. I'm not sure we're choosing to read it that way. A warning to the United States that you guys better calm down as well, or the situation is going to easily spiral out of control. If you look at China, though, go back to the 60s and 70s and look at Chinese society then. Look at their propaganda. It's remarkably similar to North Korea today. It really is.
Pseudo-closed society. And
you do not
rhetoric.
Question. Everybody is in synchronization. Nothing to...
The party.
Nothing to match the synchronization and the dancing skills of North Korea today. You see what I did? That was a compliment to North Korea.
Yes.
If they're listening, they're saying, hey, yeah, thank you.
Get it in where you can.
But it's true. You know, they do a good job at those things. But China has changed since then, and they've come round, and now, you know, they're still a communist regime, and you still can't really criticize the government. But wow, we do so much more business with them. We do so much more cultural exchange.
They're all but a democratic society.
They're capitalist, but they're not democratic.
Right, right.
Yes. Now, aren't we in much better shape having that kind of relationship with China than we did in the past where, you know, we're on the verge of starting wars with each other?
So it's sort of about how we go about it, and then to what you're positing as a potential next step,
mm-hmm.
how we read that. If, you know, it's likely Kim Jong-un will not be backing down from during anniversaries. His actions will be matching with what we might expect from antagonistic stuff. But ultimately, history may prove that the same sort of warming of relations is possible given the way we might look at the situation in China as it's developed over the years.
Well, yeah, and we keep pushing it so that becomes less and less likely. But
we don't have to.
No, there's no reason to. We gain nothing from that. Now, China is a much more powerful country. They develop nuclear weapons as well. We somehow were able to change things. And in fact, Nixon gets a lot of credit for that, for going over there. We need to do things like that if we want to salvage the situation. It's clearly not the way we want things to be, but...
Okay. Maybe American cigarettes, right? They smoke in North Korea. They like cigarettes.
Oh, they sure do.
So let's just get all the cigarette companies, just flood the market, just send them all the cigarettes, and...
This is your solution.
They'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
And trans fats.
Well, you know, when we were over there,
and soda.
You're expected to give gifts to your hosts, you know, when you're leaving.
That is considered a good gift,
and
right?
It is considered that they smoke like chimneys, you know, but North Korean cigarette. I brought back a bunch of North Korean cigarettes.
I think
cigarettes.
You mean a broken stovepipe.
Well, whatever it is, it's not good for you, and North Korean cigarettes are the worst of the worst. I'm sorry, they are. They're terrible.
It's everything they sweep up in the barn. Where
yeah,
they
it's funny because on them they say they come from like Carolina fields or something on North Korean cigarettes or wherever the tobacco
maybe
fields
the
are.
The raw tobacco is sent from
America.
I have
no idea how that happens. But here's the thing: Chinese cigarettes are also pretty awful. Uh-huh. But to give Chinese cigarettes to North Koreans is considered a great luxury. So imagine if you were to give American. Well, the thing is, American cigarettes might be looked upon
as a
hostile thing because it's America.
Right.
But just as far as quality.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah.
We have a North Korean cigarette manufacturer open a factory in the U.S.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
No, come on.
Yeah.
And then they export.
Uh-huh.
It's like Toyota having a factory in the U.S., you know, same thing. And then it's their cigarette that they're creating in our country. And it's like, see that, like, you know, it's like a relationship, you know, this is how it could work.
You're on the right path, I think. Just something like that, something creative, something that gets participation in both sides. Sure, it's a deadly substance that's bad for everybody, but it might be the key to unlocking some doors.
Maybe you next thing is organic, you know, food. Maybe
who knows
if it's a priority.
All I know is they are so dedicated and committed to getting things right. Now it just so happens that we hugely disagree with what they're doing right now. But if you can get that enthusiasm, that dedication channeled in a more positive direction, and if we can work together with them, you'll find that they're very good friends. Very good friends. I mean, you know, when I was over there, they would lay down their lives for us. You know, they would do anything to make sure we were happy. And they didn't have to do that. Why? You know, why is that so important to them? Because it is. It's part of the cultural upbringing to take care of people that you're hosting. And, like I said last week, they're not looking to convert you. They don't want you to walk out of there saying, oh, you know, North Korea is the greatest country in the world. They know that's not going to happen. But what they do want is for you to listen. Just listen to their perspective. See their monuments. You know, show some respect to the things they take great pride in. And you do that, all of a sudden you've got a good relationship where you're talking to them. And you can actually be a little bit more open. And that's always a good thing. That's never bad to achieve that. It's a challenge. Yeah. And that gets you out of a bar fight many times. Sometimes you even become friends with the person you're fighting with.
Next stop, North Korean space station.
Well, if anyone can do it, it's them.
Hopefully before the ISS is deorbited.
Uh-huh. Hey, speaking of sports, we didn't mention this last week.
Yes.
Spoke about sports for a second.
Space sports.
But we gave the kiss of death to Leicester City because we followed them after they beat our team.
As we do.
In Champions League.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, in two games, they got eliminated by Atletico Madrid. We are now following Atletico Madrid in the Champions League into the semifinals. And guess who they're playing on May 2nd in the first leg?
Dortmund.
No, they're playing...
I don't know.
They're playing Real Madrid.
Real. Oh, look at that matchup.
A rematch of the Champions League game from years ago. And I think they've done it twice in the last 2 years.
Yeah,
both times Atletico has lost.
Okay.
But this time they have a chance. It's two games. One there. Actually, I don't know. I guess one in one stadium, one in the other, both in Madrid. So May 2nd is the first one, and Atletico is our team. And it's coming down to the end now. Only semifinals and the final are left. And then we have finally the team that will be the champion after we started this 3 years ago in the FA Cup.
Wow.
So.
Well, I will. I'll start watching. Hopefully, catch up by the time that is announced.
Yeah.
No, I have been watching. It's just it's hard. You got to watch and you plan it. You've been a lot better, but I'll pay a lot more attention so that when we get to that final game, I'll be caught up and I'll know at least three players on between the two teams. So.
Yes. Well, I know Ronaldo's on Real Madrid. I don't care for him. No, you don't like him either.
He's not worth it.
No. But, you know, that might wind up being our team. If they win, then we have to follow them into the final. So we don't know where this is going to go yet. But all right. And what else? Well, we only have a few minutes, but I just wanted to touch on this for a second. There's this thing in Berkeley going on with Ann Coulter. I mentioned this. Actually, I don't know if I mentioned this here.
We were talking about Milo in the same position.
Yeah, that idiot who tried to speak there in Berkeley and was...
there were riots.
And here's the thing. They're basically, there are threats against Ann Coulter as well. And that led Berkeley to cancel the talk and then reschedule the talk. But now they're not happy with the conditions.
There as in Berkeley or there as in Ann Coulter's people?
No, as in the university saying that they have to have the talk
format or
at a particular time in the afternoon. And the college Republicans there didn't like that because it comes during a study week before the end of the term. And they're going back and forth about all this. But the thing that really is annoying to me is that this is a discussion in the first place. I think that the things that Ann Coulter says are horrible things, but there are things that people are allowed to say. You know, it's the First Amendment, and a lot of people agree with her. And the way you deal with dialogue is you have the dialogue, you have the conversation, like we're talking about with North Korea.
Yeah.
And to say that this person is offensive to me and therefore I support them not speaking, to me, that is very hypocritical. That is extremely hypocritical because unpopular words are the words you should be defending the most. And how are you going to disagree with somebody if they don't speak, if they don't say something?
Or how do you know if they're stupid if you don't hear their stupid words?
How do they convince other people that they're stupid if they don't speak?
Right.
But when you're out there basically going bananas because you're upset that they're speaking at all.
That they have rights.
Then the story becomes about you and your actions to prevent somebody from speaking.
And you're taking away your own rights.
And they don't even have to speak. And they've won. You know? And that's bad. That is just so wrong. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about Milo. I don't know. You know, I saw him on Bill Maher. And
it makes them look like a victim.
Yeah. I think getting him on TV and having him espouse his crap is fine, because then people can say, wow, that guy's a jerk, and now I know why. But to say, no, we don't want him to be seen at all, it just kind of raises his level so that people say, wow, this person must really have something to say, and you want to see him all the more. It's better to let somebody speak and erase all doubts about them being an idiot by having them say things in their own words. And, you know, if you believe in what you're saying, that shouldn't frighten you. You know, if you have a good argument, then what's the harm in that? It's when people do things, when people, you know, start calling for rounding up people and arresting people and things like that. That's when you react. That's when you actually start saying enough is enough. And we have to act to prevent this person from doing what they say they want to do.
Yeah, you reject the call to action, not the sentiment so much as what is being proposed as an action in the face of that opinion.
So it's going to get interesting in the next few days, because I believe she's scheduled to speak on Friday. She said she was going to go there regardless of whether or not she was allowed to speak, which is the right thing to do. You know, and shows guts, and I got to give her credit for that at least. That's about the only thing I can give her credit for. But controversial speakers, that should be a part of college. And I think here at Stony Brook, it always has been. I hope it is. I hope if somebody of that ilk were invited here that they, you know, give a talk. Yeah, they'd get some harassment. They'd get some shouting in the audience. Sure, why not? That happens when you're speaking about controversial things. But you always let somebody speak. You always give them that much, because you're bigger than that, you know. And that to me is it's one thing I learned here, and I hope other people take that with them. Life is about controversy, arguments,
being challenged and challenging yourself.
Yeah. And you hear about this?
No.
Speaking about being in California.
No.
Do you know there's still train robberies going on? Dozens of teens robbed and assaulted passengers on a regional transit train in Oakland over the weekend in an apparently orchestrated attack. Witness accounts and surveillance video show 40 to 60 teens jumping the fare gate at the Coliseum station on Saturday night. They entered a train that pulled into the station, grabbed bags and cell phones from seven passengers. There were 60 of them. They only got seven passengers. And then ran off into the neighborhood before transit police could respond. Can you imagine 60 people suddenly swarming on a train? I mean, that's like Wild West. It's the West. It's pretty wild.
So I want to know how many of them got rearranged by passengers who were not really feeling it.
Did you miss the part where I said there were 60 of them?
So? How many passengers were there? Four?
I don't know. I don't know how many people there were on the train, but they didn't get that many of them, that's for sure.
Well, you know, this is what makes old folks snarl at the youth.
Uh-huh.
You know, they give all the young ones a bad name, all them whippersnappers.
Well, this doesn't help, that's for sure.
Know. Yeah, great. So, did they kill anyone? Or if they killed anyone, would it be a bigger story?
That would have been the headline, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's 60 teens rushing a train. That was the headline. It's unusual.
Okay.
There were no reports of weapons used in the attack, so okay. This was all done by convincing people to hand over their loot. Not the kind of story you're expecting, but that's what happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, I got all kinds of things to say about that, but moving on.
All right. Well, we don't have much time to move on, but here's another story from overseas. Love can be tricky, especially when you're a married man with a child and you've got an online girlfriend who wants to go on vacation. Police in the southern Indian city of Hyderabad arrested 32-year-old Modaparthi Varanshi Krishna on Thursday for allegedly sending a hoax email about an aircraft hijack plot. According to a statement by Hyderabad police in the email, which was sent to Mumbai police on Saturday, Krishna claimed to be a woman who had overheard six men plotting to hijack planes in the cities of Hyderabad, Chennai, and Mumbai the next day. It's very specific. And sounds like
she overheard people talking about their flights.
Yeah, it sounds like that. And also,
I mean, how
like,
easily could that happen?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get on this flight and then we're going to connect. And then, you know, I could easily see that being missed.
Well, the hijacking planes, though, that's unusual.
It'd be a good skit.
In an itinerary for
It'd
the most
be a good
part.
Skit,
yeah. But you're believing this woman exists when she didn't. It's this guy coming up with an idea so he doesn't have to go on a vacation with his girlfriend when he has a wife already, which is going to get him in some trouble. So I could sort of, you know, I could sympathize.
Interesting.
I mean,
wow.
Who hasn't, you know, plotted some kind of mass hijacking scheme just to get out of an awkward situation with your family? Mumbai police then alerted the security agencies, resulting in beefed up security at the concerned airports. Investigators traced the IP address to an internet cafe called eNetZone in Hyderabad and were able to narrow down the email to eight people. Police said Krishna confessed during questioning. He told him he had an online girlfriend in Chennai who wanted to take their relationship to the next level and had proposed a trip to Mumbai and Goa. The problem was he didn't have enough money, and despite mentioning this to her, she really wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
So Krishna, who happens to be a travel agent, came up with a plan. He created a fake ticket from Chennai to Mumbai for his girlfriend. After sending her the ticket, he created a fake email address and sent the hoax email to the police. And that email read, "Hi, sir, I'm female here. I'm doing this email from Hyderabad." You didn't know I'd get the email. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I don't want to reveal my details, of course, I'm female and scared of issues. I'm mailing you this. There's so many misspellings here. This caused in the afternoon around 2 p.m. while having lunch, there were six guys talking. These guys are Muslims. They were talking about plane hijack tomorrow in Hyderabad, Chennai, and Mumbai Airport. They were talking very slowly, but unfortunately, I heard a few conversations about this. They were saying all us 23 people have to split from here and have to board flights in three cities and hijack them at a time. And that's the first period in the whole thing. They spoke some other things also, but I could not hear them as I heard only these few sentences from them. I don't know. Am I doing correct or not? And they are true or not, but heard this. So kindly go through this. And as I inform this as a duty and a citizen of India, and please don't make me to get into issues. Well, Speaking at a press conference,
who wouldn't say that?
Abhi Limbareddy, Deputy Commissioner of Police at the Commissioner's Task Force in Hyderabad, who led the investigation, said he didn't have the money, but if he canceled because of that, it would have hurt his pride, and his friendship with the girl would have come to an end. I like how they're explaining what he did. And well, I don't think we'd do that here. We wouldn't be so accommodating. So his thinking was that if the flight was to be canceled and it was because of the airport, he wouldn't be at fault. Well, guess what? He is at fault big time. Krishna is married, has a child. He is active on social media. And now he's been arrested on 4 charges, including impersonation and providing false information. And those charges could result in 5 years in prison and a fine of $150.
That doesn't
sound like much of a fine, $150.
I must have not been paying attention. He didn't want to go on a vacation with his girlfriend or his wife?
His girlfriend. She wanted to come up and meet with him.
Okay.
And that's difficult when you have a wife and a kid and you don't have that much money to start with.
Got it.
So you kind of have to arrange for fake hijackings to... to get out of that situation. But, you know, again, probably not the best way to do it.
Yeah, you know, maybe think things through.
Think things through, yes.
And don't get married.
Well, okay, that would have solved a lot of problems, for sure.
You know, you have your options open. Why rush it? You know, why do we have to be so certain? Why accept pressure when you know you might find yourself in a situation like that? You can have lots of girlfriends if you're not married and have kids. People are so silly.
Yes. Why indeed? Well, we are almost out of time. In fact, we are out of time. And we do need to get out of here because Finn is coming up next. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll be happy to read your emails, maybe even on the air. And let's hope that we are on the air next week. Let's hope there's a world next week. Let's hope that the two leaders of these two countries can stop acting like children and start acting like responsible adults.
You think it's going to be Le Pen or Macron?
Oh, God. Let's not even get started on that.